Cells in Motion Podcast.
Welcome to our third episode with your host Frieda Berg. Today we will discuss the impact of elasticity and stiffness on cell development in the zebrafish embryo. A living being is created, to put it simply, by a cell that divides, therefore multiplies, and finally overtakes certain functions that enable life. In this developmental stage of the so-called morphogenesis, different cell types and thus cell functions are formed by the migration of cells within the developing organism. However, there are still many unanswered questions with respect to the mechanosensitive properties of cells that in the first place allow them to migrate. But investigating cells in a developing embryo inside the body of the mother is a very evolved challenge. At the Institute of Cell Biology at the University of Münster, Professor Iris Raas is therefore working with an animal whose offspring grow outside the body in eggs. It's the zebrafish.
Zebrafish is a relatively new model organism in biomedical research, and people were attracted to using this model because it offers certain advantages over models that existed before. The most important feature of this model is that the embryos are developing outside the body of the mother. In the case of the zebrafish, what happens is that the embryos are laid into the water by the female, they are fertilized, and then we have a situation where the embryo develops in the water, and we can simply follow the development of the embryo relatively easily.
The zebrafish is a slender ornamental fish, which is up to 5 inches long, and in addition to the zebra-like stripes that give it its name, its eggs and embryos are initially optically translucent. Individual cells and cell growth are therefore visible from the outside using optical microscopy. The lessons biologists learn from the animal model can be transferred to the human organism quite well. So how does a cell migrate during the morphogenesis of the zebrafish when it develops to a highly specialized cell? One thing is for sure. The cell moves from one place to another by deforming, explains Professor Iris Raas.
There are different mechanisms that allow cells to move. The cells that we are focusing on or use as a model are cells that move by sending protrusions called blebs. These are basically inflations of the cell membrane in the direction of migration. So it makes protrusions that look like a balloon, in which part of the cell inflates the membrane that surrounds the cell and moves part of the cell forward.
For inflating the blebs and moving, of course, the cell has to summon up forces that depend on the elasticity of the cell itself as well as its surrounding. Cell biologist Iris Raas is interested in answering the questions how elastic a germ cell must be to move and whether the migration of stem cells depends on the stiffness of the cells that surround them. There already exist a couple of hypotheses, but these have not yet been verified. In a new interdisciplinary project at the Cells in Motion Cluster of Excellence, Iris Raas works together with Professor Cornelia Dens from the Institute of Applied Physics. As a team, they will perform measurements on stiffness and elasticity for the first time. Cornelia Dens is an expert in the field of biophotonics that deals with photons, the particles of light. In the working group of Cornelia Dens, novel microscopy-based technologies are developed in order to investigate living cells and even move them by light. For this purpose, Cornelia Dens exploits holograms. Are these those holograms many of us know from science fiction movies like Star Trek? Cornelia Dens explains.
We know about holograms from science fiction movies or from other fancy stories we have. We see them also on our money or on our credit cards. And these are all very different versions of holograms. And these versions are different in terms that typically only the 3D impression that this is a physical 3D object is considered. However, holograms are much more. Holograms are a sort of light structure that has special features that are very important when we use holograms in different contexts. And one of these features is that holograms typically sculpture the wavefront in a certain way.
These special forms of light waves are generated by laser light with a technological device, which is a spatial light modulator, also known as a liquid crystal display, in our cellular phones, through which the light beam is directed. in order to examine individual cells and to move them three-dimensionally in the organism, the holographic technology may employ small beads that need to be introduced into the primordial germ cell in an early developmental stage. They subsequently distribute naturally by the process of cell division all over the developing organism. If the laser beam now is impinging on one of these beads, the bead is attracted to the focus of the beam and held as in a pair of tweezers, says Cornelia Dentz.
So perhaps the easiest way to understand this is that a light beam that is focused by a lens typically has a very narrow area of light where the focus is. And you can use this feature in order to grab particles, small particles. These can be small transparent glass beads. This can be small polymers. And this is the main feature we call optical tweezer, because the light acts as a physical tweezer, but without the mechanical touching of the object, for example the cell, but only by touching it by light. And this is already known for a couple of years. And what we are now doing is we're using this feature of holograms that you can sculpt the light in order to create a number of these tweezers simultaneously. And these simultaneous tweezers can now, by the holographic feature, be moved and changed in space and in time. And this allows us to understand or investigate in the first place all the questions we have heard before from Eros.
Using this device that combines a high-resolution microscope with the technique of holographic optical tweezers, beads can be grabbed simultaneously with individual laser beams and moved freely at the same time. In order not to damage the cells of the living zebrafish, the light of the laser beams in the infrared, so it's not visible to the human eye. But why would all of this be useful? Thanks to the movable beads, the project team around Cornelia Dentz and Eris Vaz can apply various scenarios of viscoelastic forces on the embryonic stem cells of the zebrafish. Imagine different hands that would simultaneously pull or push the cell. By applying these artificial forces, it is possible for the first time to physically measure the elasticity of the cell. The round shape of the beads does not reflect all natural scenarios of force distribution, so two- and three-dimensional object shapes are developed to applicate more complex pressure on the cell's surface or within the cell. Dr. Wolfgang Horn is heading a junior research group at the Institute of Applied Physics that produces these tiny microsurgery tools out of polymers, as Cornelia Dentz describes.
By having a very strong focused laser beam, you can sort of sculpt in material certain very tiny objects. And what he is sculpting is a sort of small knives, scissors, and small structures. And these structures then have handles where we can grab the structure by our optical tweezers, and then we can incorporate these structures into the zebrafish, and then we have a sort of light-driven small object, and we can with these objects specifically address pressure or stress onto the cell and can then measure the reaction on the cell.
This interdisciplinary teamwork enables unique new insights into the global context of cells in motion, says Cornelia Dentz.
This has never been done before, and we are quite proud that we have together all the ingredients. On the one hand, we have a strong biological question, on the one hand the instrument, and now these microsurgery tools, and all three together will be very innovative to understand cell migration and its connection to biophysical parameters like stress and strain.
Professor Eris Ras hopes that with this project at the Cells in Motion Cluster of Excellence in Münster, he will finally be able to better understand the process of cell migration and the development of embryos.
What I expect is to get very detailed information concerning the distribution of forces and their dynamics. And last, as was mentioned before, to be able to try to influence the cell through biophysical manipulations and influence the cell to behave in one way or the other. And all of this hopefully will help us formulate a more comprehensive model of cell migration.
Not only the embryo cell divides and migrates to develop to further specialized cells, cell migration is also a relevant positive process for the immune system to fight infections or for wound healing. Unwanted cell migration, however, can lead to metastasis formation, for example. Therefore, not only the understanding of migration and its physical forces, but also their control and manipulation is important in order to allow better treatment for tumor patients in the future. Thank you for listening to the Cells in Motion podcast. I'd be glad to welcome you to our next episode on modern approaches in light microscopy.
You can find out more about the cluster by visiting our website cellsinmotion.de.